Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, if the Celtics got the number one record in the entire NBA, they could have three All-Stars, especially in the Eastern Conference, Scott.
Yeah, I did talk to you about that, but it's so early, I'd have to really write them down. But I will say this. They don't talk about two-way players enough, and I think it's starting to trend that direction. Like, they're starting to give credit to the defensive end of the floor. Jaylen Brown, to me, is a guy who doesn't take possessions off, and he brings it on both ends. So, yeah, the conversation should be happening. And this, when you see Jaylen Brown, I see eventually an all-NBA type of player. Now, you can be first, second, or you know what? I'm going to give the nod to Jaylen Brown. He's a two-way player. He can shoot the three. He can drive to the basket, and he can make plays.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I love it when Scale says that, and then Kyle, you know, he gets all excited.
Oh, my God, really?
Kyle.
I love Jaylen Brown.
Time for a cigarette,
buddy. Well, I must
buddy.
Say, I know. Scale's seriously, a smart man. Scale knows the game. Sounds like Scal agrees with me.
I will say this. I think Tatum's been better defensively this year. He's not as good as Jaylen Brown defensively. You're right, Lou, but he's been better defensively. I like the way he takes the ball to the hole now. He's,
so, hold
but,
on
but
a second.
You could be right. You could be right with the multiple.
I think he's soft.
Who?
They get to the basket still.
They don't. I think Tatum? He's, no, I think he's been much better.
No, he's
I think
better. He's more, there's more want to go to the basket.
Oh, you're pissing Gilroy off.
There's
now.
More want, but better.
So you not just bad. Heard. You just heard. Scal, basketball guy.
Yeah.
Watches basketball.
Played the game.
He also
like
plays.
No
he
has longer
a, he has
plays
a, he's like
sports.
A, he has the black belt of basketball
and
analysis,
no
right?
No longer plays the game.
No
like
longer
you.
Plays, but he, right. That's what he does for a living.
Tries to do 25 hours on radio now.
Can't do it.
Yeah, right.
Can't do it. So he says that he thinks Jaylen Brown is an all-pro. He's an all-star.
Said he could be. If
could
the,
be.
He thinks the league is starting to recognize defensive
okay.
players, all-around
okay,
players.
Great. Okay,
and that's what that's what Lou likes
all-star.
About him versus Tatum, I
yes.
think, right?
Yeah. Third-team all-star, yes. whatever. The guy's bona fide, right? The people love him.
Yeah.
You're telling me he's going to want to give up his spot to Gordon Hayward? When Gordon Hayward comes back in 6 weeks, he's trending in the right direction. Next you know, all-star balloting is coming up. People are showing him love and respect. You want me to sit?
See, the problem you have
or
is
that
you're right.
You
once, you once played a professional sport as an athlete. You were pretty good in your time. But apparently you had a tremendous ego, and you don't understand that some of these guys who play the game, like Jaylen Brown, might not have a tremendous
no,
ego.
No, I had, a, so I had then, a high, you know, I had a, I valued, right. I valued what came with being a starter. It's hard to get. Once you get it, everyone's trying to take it away from you. And when you achieve it, and you're used to it over 6 weeks. Listen, if it was 2 weeks, I'd say not a chance. 6 weeks, you can identify yourself as one of the best in the league, and then they're not going to be able to pull you out.
Here's the good news. With Hayward out for 6 weeks, going to your ego theory, Jaylen Brown's going to get an awful lot of attention nationally. And he does play every aspect of the game. So people are going to see this. He's going to get a lot more credit. And even when Gordon Hayward comes back and Jaylen Brown may be coming off the bench, people are still going to recognize, as Scal said, that he plays the entire game.
To Christian's point, though, I do wonder if Brad Stevens looks at it and says, you know, I don't want to force it like I did last year. You know, and maybe Gordon Hayward's coming off the bench. At least when he first comes back. He should. When he first comes back after missing 6-7 weeks, however it's going to be,
well, we're talking about
Gordon Hayward should come off
now,
the bench.
We're talking about what they settle into, because you're right. The first week or two, who knows? And people are saying 6 weeks, but timing and everything else, because he's going to be able to run. Cardio won't be an issue, but the timing might be, you know, and he's
well,
a shooter.
Now, Brad Stevens, what'd you learn last year? Here you go. Deal with some egos.
Right.
Got to talk to somebody. Talk about it's not about starting lineup. It's, you know, look at the minutes. It's going to be about matchups at the end of the game. You want to be on the court at the end of the game, or you want to be on the court at tip-off?
Right.
So, this is where part of his job comes into play.
Show them Celtics history,
yeah,
baby. It's been part of their history. Rick is in a car here on EEI. Hi, Rick.
How you doing?
Good.
I just have to say that Tristan Foria is remembering the old Gordon Hayward from last season. He's remarkably different, a lot more explosive. He jumps better. He is getting by people off the dribble and off of the catch at a high rate. he is not the same player
Rick,
he was
Rick,
a year
Rick,
ago.
Rick, hold on. Rick, I 100% agree with you. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, that's not the narrative. That's not the exercise right here. The fact is, Gordon Hayward is going to be out for 6 weeks. Not going to be playing. Other people are going to establish roles that they aren't going to want to give up. And so I just don't see how people think that's going to be something easy, that they think Jaylen Brown's just going to be like, oh, here, you it's your job to lose now.
Well, what if it's Marcus Smart?
I think you have a better chance with Marcus Smart.
I think it's a great opportunity for Jaylen Brown to then develop and continue to improve at the progressive rate he has demonstrated over the last several years. And then when Gordon Hayward comes back, now you have someone that continues to progress. I firmly believe what Gordon Hayward is now doing, he has demonstrated in a small sample size in the first six games, is better than he was in Utah.
I'm not sure I'm ready to go there. Did you ever see him in Utah? He was pretty damn good.
Yeah, he was very good, but he didn't have the perimeter shot that he has now.
Oh, yeah,
he was a guy that could flash to the hole. He could do all of that kind of stuff, but he couldn't shoot the three that well like he can now.
Rick, I'm just curious. How many Utah Jazz games did you watch 3 years ago?
Yeah, I just moved on from him. Dan is in a car. Hi, Dan. Hello, what? Dan.
Hey.
Yo.
Hello, Glenn.
Yes, sir.
Hi, it's me, Glenn.
Glenn.
Yes, yeah. Go ahead, Dan. I want you to talk.
Kemba Walker. Listen, Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
You think he can't finish a game? Be the guy.
No, I think he can. I think he can finish a game. I mean, Isaiah Thomas can finish a game, but those smaller players, when you get into the playoffs, teams come up with game plans against them. It's far more difficult when the game notches up a couple, goes up a couple notches, becomes a far more physical game. You get away with a lot more. It's a little bit more difficult. He's a terrific player.
But Kyrie can do it.
I'm glad he's here. He's a
terrific
player.
Kyrie can do it, right? Kyrie can do it.
Kyrie can take over a game more than
Isaiah Thomas can do it.
No,
Isaiah Thomas did.
You know what Kemba is?
Isaiah did.
Kemba's a better version of Isaiah. He's bigger.
I think
he's a better version of Isaiah.
That's disrespectful.
No, it isn't.
I think you're just
when Isaiah Thomas is healthy, he's not a terrific player.
I think you just hate Kemba Walker.
Well, I think Isaiah Thomas.
I heard you say
you're so full of it.
But I think Isaiah Thomas showed that when he's healthy, he could do the same thing.
Yeah, but he's
this whole thing about size—it's
ridiculous. Part of it in the postseason.
No, you know, but, I mean, I'm not saying that it isn't. It is basketball, so height is probably the most important thing when you really break it down. But to say that because he's too small and he's a liability defensively, when there's all this history and all this proof that you don't have to be 6'9".
Well, no, I just think when it comes to Kemba, and we all knew it last year, we saw the numbers, right? Late, close, clutch, whatever the hell they talk about. Last 2 minutes, up, down, five, and it wasn't pretty. I mean, it was pretty ugly, as a matter of fact. But you have to look at who he's playing with. You have to look at the fact if you're playing them, you just trap and double team and get the ball out of Kemba's hands. Now, he's the best player in the team, so he still wants to take the shot. He doesn't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it opens up for him a little bit more late because he's not drawing so much attention he once did when he was the only guy.
No, there were nights he literally had to score 50 for Charlotte to stay in games.
So now you've got to pay attention to Hayward when he's back and Jaylen and Tatum and all these guys. All of a sudden now Kemba
is not seeing
the amount of attention he wants. He's seen his whole career.
I like him.
Why do you hate him?
He hates him.
I like him.
Like short people.
I think
that's so short, you would think he would, you know, be in lockstep with a guy like Kemba Walker.
There are certain players that can take over a game. So as much as people here love Gordon Hayward, a terrific player, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and now Kemba Walker, you saw a guy last night that's 20 years of age. I am telling you that by the playoffs this year, and Dallas is not that good, he will be able to take over games and big games. This kid has got all of the tools. He can do everything. You saw part of it last night. He got no help on that floor. Porzingis was like just a tall rag out on the court. He did absolutely nothing for them. Luka Doncic is incredible. He's 20 years of age. We talk about the young players and what you're seeing out of Jaylen Brown, the complete package. This kid can defend, can take the ball to the hole.
He's a different
His passing is unbelievable. He threw a 30-foot alley-oop pass last night that was right on the money.
He's a different player. He's a different level.
Yeah. That's my point. My point is the top five players, these great players. Why do you think Toronto couldn't win squat? They won a lot of regular season games. They won 60 games the previous year. Last year, they won the championship. Mm-hmm. What was the difference? They had a top five player.
There's Kawhi Leonard.
Exactly.
Kawhi Leonard.
Thank you, Larry. That's who they had.
New coach.
The difference. So it's been proven, Lou, that if you have nice players like Kyle Lowry and people like that, you can win lots of games. But how do you win a championship? With those guys. And does Boston have one? They have guys that are really good players. Do they have one of those great players? I don't believe they do.
No.
But that's the point.
They don't.
That's my point.
Well, the question comes down to can four of these guys, I think, and four of them attack a team in a way of beating a Giannis? You know, because four guys are playing at high level. Can they beat them by just beating Giannis and Middleton?
I don't think that's the formula. I just don't think that's
the
formula.
Well, it hasn't been in the past.
By the way, Chris Middleton got hurt, too. He's out for a while.
Everything's always changing.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I don't think the Sixers are a good matchup for them just because of the bigs. You know, so, but still, it's where the game is, where the game is changing. I don't know, the dominant teams. I don't think there's a dominant team in the East. Good teams in the East.
Milwaukee, when healthy, Milwaukee is a dominant team in the East because they have the best player in
the
league.
Yes, they do.
So when the game is on the line, he will take over the game. That's what Doncic is capable of doing very shortly here. Leonard did it last year. LeBron has done it in the past, okay? Kevin Durant has done it. The Celtics don't have that player. And that's the whole idea of a cute team I tell you about. They have a lot of really good players. It's not an insult when I say cute team. They're good. They're fun. But do they have that one player that can put you over the top and take over a game, take over a series? No. Toronto's the greatest example. 2 years ago, they were a 60-win team. And guess what? They didn't win against Cleveland a single game. A single game. Why? Because he took over the game. LeBron took over the entire series. It was a four-game sweep. And Toronto just came off 60 wins. So this Celtic team could go win 60 games and then go into Milwaukee and get smoked. That's the point. That's what I fear the most about this team. David is in Natick. Hello, David.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
David?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I wanted to talk about Jason Tatum and where I see him progressing offensively. I mean, certainly I don't see him being a James Harden, Kobe Bryant type huge volume scorer. But I think he's on step two of being a really killer scorer in that a couple of years ago he was trying to position himself with the ball and trying to figure out how to get his shot off. Right now he's kind of at a position where he's trying to figure out, all right, how do I get to myself to the best spot on the floor where I can make a shot? And what you see from some of those great scorers is they actually don't spend a whole lot of time looking at the hoop. They spend the time looking at their defender, the defensive team that they're playing against, because they think they can make a shot from anywhere on the floor. So when you see Jason Tatum staring down whoever's defending him, trying to make them make a mistake where he knows he will score on them, you're going to see him become a top-notch scorer in the NBA.
Okay. Top-notch. I mean, top-notch score. He's got to get to the line more than
what's
right?
What's top-notch?
28, 30 points a game?
Anybody notice who's leading the league in scoring right now? James Harden. You know how many? He's got 40. It's like 39.3 or something like that game.
Crazy.
So it's not about points per game, because Harden, when you watch him in a big game and he starts trying to take the game over, he usually, you know, he usually loses the game for his team by trying to take over in a way that he starts shooting too much. I think it's a lot about how much they score in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, or the other scenario is when they start to score a lot, when they have their, you know, Hayward or Kemba or Jalen, if they're having an off night or in foul trouble, that's the other time you see a top-notch scorer come.
All right, to me, and this is why Lou's theory on Jaylen Brown, I think, has some validity, and that he can do more things than Tatum. To me, Tatum is going to be a terrific scorer, but the thing that he has to do to become a 25, 28, 30-point a night guy is he needs to get to the free throw line.
Yeah, 10 times a game, not
got
four,
to, right.
three, four,
That's
five.
The difference. Those are the difference of being a 20-point scorer and a 28-point scorer. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And he's got to do that. And once he does that, I think he's going to be a great scorer. I think that's what he is. I think he tries defensively. I'm not sure he's great at it, but he's getting better, as I said.
But he's still a kid.
Yeah,
you see him last night in person. He's got some shoulders on him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so he's still young kid. When I say soft, it's like, okay, when he gets a little bit older, gets a little stronger, maybe takes to the basket a little differently.
He's older than Doncic, I believe,
yeah,
right?
But, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
When you watch that kid and you see his basketball IQ of Doncic, just think, he is 20 years of age. Larry Bird, who will be with us tomorrow at 3:30. Larry Bird came into the league at 23 and a month later returned 24.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Magic Johnson, he came in at, what, 22, I believe, Christian, 22, something like that. You're talking about a 20-year-old kid right now that has these unbelievable instincts, that knows the game inside and out. It's unbelievable. All right, 617-779-7937. Anything going on in baseball today?
Ooh. Nope.
Mookie Betts' name is popping up.
Oh, of course.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy every Monday and Wednesday from 10 to 2. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
It's all brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Black Friday sales event. Get employee pricing plus a new commercial on a new commercial truck. Visit 495ram.com. The Bruins back in action tonight hosting Florida. They'll drop the puck at 7 over at the Garden. Heim Bloom said all intentions are for Dustin Pedroia to play for the Red Sox in 2020. We'll get into that. And there is some interesting stuff out there with Mookie Betts out of the GM meetings. Celtics own the NBA's best record. Their win streak is at 8. Beat Dallas last night. They will host the Wizards. And yet, Isaiah Thomas, who is in the starting lineup now for your Washington Wizards. Ravens are cutting former Patriots second-round pick Cyrus Jones. It's understandable. And the Red Sox, not the only team apparently to steal these signs electronically. The Astros apparently used an electronic sign-stealing method during their title-winning 2017 season. This is according to a former pitcher, Mike Fiers. He spoke on the record about Houston. What is he speaking on the record for? What is he thinking?
That's smart.
That is dumb. About Houston's sign-stealing system at Minute Maid Park, which included a TV monitor and a feed from center field camera near the dugout steps. Mike, what are you thinking?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Has your perspective changed at all
for Mookie Betts' future.
No, I mean, I still have a hard time seeing how they're going to find $30 million this year and then, you know, $350 million or whatever it's going to be on top of that for 10 years. It just doesn't feel like that's the kind of move that's going to be made. Chaim Bloom did say today that, you know, they've crossed paths with Mookie's representatives. He's noted that he has spoken to Mookie. And so we'll see how this all unfolds. But, you know, there's nothing that I've seen so far here. And it's very early. Nobody's really doing anything of substance yet. But there's nothing that I've heard to make me think, wow, you know, the Red Sox are rethinking this. They're going to find a way to keep Mookie. I just feel like the signs continuously have pointed towards him being moved.
So Major League, that's John Tomasi, by the way, of NBC Sports Boston, used to toil in these hallways. The general manager meetings are going on right now. Where are they? Scottsdale, right? Is that what they are?
AZ, yep.
Nothing's really happening. I remember the old, good old days when general manager
deals
meetings and
done.
Trades and deals.
Yeah.
The only thing that's happening.
This is when you start the discussions.
Start them.
The winter meetings is when it usually goes down.
Oh, yeah, because baseball needs a couple meetings.
But then all of a sudden the winter meetings.
You have meetings for the meetings.
They need a meeting in mid-January, apparently, to lock things up.
So this is interesting, though. Rumors are popping out because people at the general manager meetings like to talk. A lot of bars, right? A little cocktail, and they speak out of both sides of their mouth. But MLB executives that are being polled by different media people are saying they're not willing to give up much to rent Mookie Betts because they all believe he's headed to free agency. Mm-hmm. So it is literally a rental, whether you rent him in this offseason with a trade, or whether you do it at the trading deadline, you are renting Mookie Betts because nobody out there is convinced that Mookie Betts is going to do anything but go to free agency and not start with their team. So Tomasi writes this piece the other day, NBC Sports, Boston.com. It's time for Mookie Betts to tell the Red Sox what he really wants.
Be honest with us, Mookie.
Yeah, see,
tell us the truth, Mookie.
I read that too, and here's the question I have. What makes you think he hasn't? So the Red Sox, last offseason, right? Dave Dombrowski's here. He wants to get the band back together, right? Superstars, stars win, yada, yada, yada. I need Eovaldi. So they bring Eovaldi back. They sign Chris Sale to an extension. They get Xander Bogaerts to an extension. Does anybody believe they didn't make a bid? Like, they just skipped over Mookie? They said, well, you know, we're going to give you 20 in arbitration. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, what makes you think they don't know? I personally think they know exactly what he wants.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, and they're not going to go there. So what happens this offseason is, you know, I think that they'll try to trade him, and I don't know if they're going to like what they get in return. See, I think part of that, too, with executives is a little negotiating.
Yeah, playing a little game right now.
You're not going to get anything for him. I'm not going to get anything for him.
Right.
But there'll be a team out there that sits there and says, you know what, if I can get Mookie for a year rather than trade for him at the deadline, we might have intentions in signing him long-term, but if we don't, it'll help because we'll get that draft pick back because we'll give him the qualifying offer. He'll leave. And that can kind of take back of some of the stuff that we give up to get him because he's a great player. I can get my fan base excited. I can sell some tickets. And we can come out of the gate. I can get him for 6 months as opposed to 2.5. And still pay a steep price, by the way.
You know, in that article, he talks about, you know, you need Mookie Betts, you need to tell us what you want. I think the only question...
Do you think that they don't know what he wants?
No, that's my point.
I think the other executives in Major League Baseball know, and that's why they're...
I think freaking everybody knows.
Oh, yeah, but do you want? He wants to be the highest paid player.
Yes.
Do you want to live in Atlanta? Do you want to stay in Boston? No, I want to be the highest paid player.
That's what
I want. Mike Trout money. Now that may be San Diego. That may be LA. That may be Milwaukee. I don't really care. I want Mike Trout type of money.
See, that's it.
That's real simple. Takes me to the next thing. It's not that he doesn't want to stay here. He doesn't give a rat's ass where he plays.
Play wherever.
It's about the money. Like this is, you know, you can go back and read
about honor.
Go back and read like Alex Speer's book, Homegrown, and the history of him negotiating with the Red Sox, and we've seen it before. To me, his side, his advisors, this is what you're worth. We don't care who gives it to you. The Red Sox want to pay you like Mike Trout. We love Boston. We loved our time here. I love playing here. Team will compete. They're going to show commitment to you. You know they're going to try to win every single year. It'd be beautiful.
All right, so we all.
But what if they don't?
Yeah.
They all go somewhere else.
Right. And I think you're right. I think the Red Sox know exactly what he wants. I think all of these other Major League Baseball executives, because, you know, Boris, other agents, they like to talk. So here's the deal. Mike Trout got a 12-year, $430 million extension. So you have another year before Mookie Betts goes to free agency. Is there anybody out there that doubts that Mookie Betts is going to go to free agency because it's the only chance he has of getting $430 million unless the Red Sox pony up a deal that is at the what they gave Trout or slightly above Trout?
Oh, do you think that what happened with Bryce Harper hurt Mookie Betts' market value?
No.
Based on the fact that, well, the fact
I
that.
I don't because he's that much of a better player than Harper.
Okay, so he would have made a difference, and they still would have went to the. So if Mookie Betts was in that situation, would have made a big difference. I just feel like there's something to that.
The difference is Harper's such a liability defensively that you can look at. That's, you know, the kid Robles that they put out in center field instead of Harper and Wright, and they moved their outfield around a little bit. You know, Harper's war was like a 4-4 with the Nationals. This kid was a 4-1 because he saved 26, 27 runs in the outfield. This is the way they look at this stuff. But with Mookie, he hits you from both ways. You know, he hits you offensively. He hits you defensively. He hits you in the base paths. So that's all pluses for him. So that's a tougher guy. You don't replace it with one.
He's Mookie.
You know, but I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I'd give him 10 years. I don't know if that's smart anymore in this game. 8 years. You want to give him 30, 30, 35, 8 years, what, 280? I'd feel a lot better if they had something like that, but I don't think he's going to settle for anything under 400.
Yeah, has any team actually benefited long-term of a deal like that, a 10, 12-year deal?
The only deals that I could think of.
Manny Ramirez.
Okay.
And you could say
$160 million at the time.
What Max Scherzer signed for? He's been worth it.
Yeah, Scherzer has been worth it.
It's few and far between, right?
I mean, it's a loss.
So if you're a gambling man, which you are, and a lot of all these other GMs are, like, that's a huge risk because in most a realistic person, a rational person would say that's a bad idea. Like, that's a bad business deal. If you're a Fortune 500 company, you're running, they would say probably best to use our money somewhere else.
Okay, he's a great player.
He is.
I'm not saying everybody's that he isn't. You should keep him. And it's like, okay, at what cost? Like, where do we? Is there a line, or do you just say he's a great player? No matter what, you know, financially, we're going to be up against it for the next 10 years. Well, I don't care about John Henry's money. Well, you know, if you look at the last 10 years, can you name a 5-year deal that's worked out here?
No.
4-year deal?
No.
Well, I would say, and if you're one of those guys who say, that's not my money, it's John Henry's money, well, you should worry.
You can't.
Well, hold on. No, but you should because you can't have a bunch of guys. You can have 6 good players and the rest are role players,
can't win
rookies,
like that.
Younger guys. Because there's all these haves, and there's this huge separation, and then there's the have-nots. Yeah. There's a small, small middle class.
Well, there's no depth.
Yeah, and you're like, wait a
second. And look at the team this year. They lost with no depth.
Yeah, so I sit there and go, the guy that says, well, what do I care? But you need that money. You're just throwing it at 5 guys.
So if you take 400, the money you would spend for Mookie Betts over that 12-year period, let's say $430, $440, $450 million, seems obscene, then how do you rebuild all of the other positions? You can't tell me that if you're John Henry and you're Tom Warner, you're looking at the past season and how the public shut the Red Sox off in early August, that just by having a high-profile player like Mookie Betts, if you're not winning and you're weak in all of these other positions that you can't win enough games to go to the playoffs, that you're going to get your money back. You are simply not going to get your money back. J.D. Martinez might be a good deal, yet he still has another out, right? So there's a four-year deal, right?
Yeah.
4-year deal, but it's year
and
to year.
And next year,
year
it's 19 right. and 19. So if he gets hurt, you're sitting, hey, if you want to come back at 19,
right,
I can still hit you third or fourth.
Here's the killer, I think, in that we're all sitting here loving the player. Saying the player is great, all right? Terrific, great. Right behind Trout. The problem is you're not going to get anything in return. So you don't want to pay him the $430 million that Trout has got. But if you can't get much in return, and this is the best player the organization has right now, people are going to be pissed off. Are they not?
That's why I say then he comes back and you bite the bullet for one more year.
And then he leaves for a massive amount of money. And you get a draft pick.
Yep. Then he leaves. And you got to put some value on having the player next year, what it means to your organization. And if he walks, he walks. And it's better than just giving him up for a salary dump. Do you see that thing? And I think the last, if I can't get what I want, the last thing I'd look at is that deal that someone threw out in New York, which is Mookie for Thor, Syndergaard. I'm not crazy about that.
No.
But you get 2 years of Syndergaard. So you push it forward a little bit. So if they wanted to do it, and you get Thor for 2 years. Well, you get him for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then you're right back in the same boat again. You know, or maybe this year it doesn't work out and you got Syndergaard. And at the deadline, you say, I'll give you a year and a half of Syndergaard. What can I get back? So eventually I recoup those minor leaguers for Mookie through Syndergaard, if you understand what I'm talking about.
I do.
So, I mean, you get 1 year of Syndergaard, then you're back doing the same thing again with Mookie and Syndergaard and say, hey, maybe we want to bring him back, but do we want to invest that? Maybe they've already traded Price, Evaldi. Maybe they do want to invest in him long term. I personally think that he's got his nickname is better than he is, but would you want him for a year? Could help him.
Well, it's better than getting absolutely nothing, okay? I think the problem with having Mookie Betts here for all of next season is you're going to go through an entire year where everybody's going to be sitting there saying, are you coming back or are you not coming back? This is not a player who likes to talk an awful lot and say much. That's going to be the overriding cloud that's going to hang over Fenway Park all year long. And if your team is not in the mix by the trading deadline, it's going to rear its ugly head right at the playing deadline.
Yep.
It's going to be crazy. All right, Josh Gordon played last night for the Seattle Seahawks.
Slants and go.
And he talked about how great and wonderful it is now to be in Seattle, which was terrific. But it sounds to me like he might have on a radio program taken a shot at our quarterback, TB12. Coming up next.
Wow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to more of Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
36, this is the longest third down that the Seahawks have faced tonight, and it's a critical one. Clock running towards 3 minutes, a 3rd-and-6 tie game. And here's Russell Wilson, and he gets the strike to Josh Gordon. Patriots waved him goodbye. Seattle said, come aboard. And 13 yards later, it's a first down Seahawks. So there is the first catch as a Seahawk for Josh Gordon.
Were you surprised with that New England waved you and that ended the way here?
Yeah, I think so. But we all know, like, the business. It could be short-lived anywhere. You never really know what could happen day-to-day in the NFL. So that was a decision they made, and glad to be here now, though.
Josh Gordon made an impact in the game last night. Slants. Okay.
Slants and goes.
He's good at slants and goes.
And
he did it last night. He did it pretty effectively, I would say.
That's what he does.
Yeah. He likes to.
3rd-and-6, not a surprise.
It's not a slant.
He's good at it. Yeah, wouldn't you say? Very, very good at it.
I'd say he would be the king of the slant route.
All right.
Slants and goes.
Right. Slants and goes.
So what's the problem?
So apparently he's been talking an awful lot. This is amazing because Josh Gordon said nothing here in New England. You talk about putting the clamps on an athlete. No, there's a lot more.
I'm saying he used to have 3 questions right at the pass.
Stacey would pull him away.
And that took a while. Remember, that took a long time before he could get the 3 questions. But very orchestrated. You wouldn't let him loose. You wouldn't let him go do radio interviews or whatever. But he was talking quite a bit before the game last night. He was talking about how badly he wanted to play with Russell Wilson.
I don't know if that's the right one. That's not the one we wanted to start with. What you want to start with is John Clayton.
No, we're getting into the Clayton.
Oh, you're getting into the Clayton.
This one.
Oh,
first.
Okay. My bad. See, I was vamping. Yeah. So which one are we playing?
You'll be much better when sleep. You'll be much better.
Or if I'm by myself. Yeah. I just keep talking.
I think we're good now.
Okay.
Is it true you were hoping to come here?
For a long time. Yeah, me and Russ have been talking about it for a little while behind the scenes, you know, how nice it would be. But here I am, so.
Why?
I admire his game. You know, I think maybe he respected mine mutually. But I love the way he plays. It's as simple as that. He's just a great ball player. He can make it happen from pretty much anywhere.
When did that relationship start with him?
It goes back maybe 2014, 15 or something like that. But I guess we all just kind of kept tabs on each other from time to time. And then just mutually admiring each other's game and saying what's up. That's about it. But we always talk football, and I think we built some type of relationship away from me even prior to me getting here. So pretty nice to have that.
All right, harmless. That's my quarterback. Okay, get it. You know, you're going to pump up your new guy, right?
You got a
relationship with him.
Why did that bug me then?
It bugged
you. It kind
of
bugged me
reason.
A little bit. Yeah, it did, because I felt like...
What did you think?
Listen, dude, okay, the Patriots rescued your ass. So maybe I'm asking for too much. They rescued you. You were floating adrift. Nobody wanted anything to do with you. You were toxic. They saved your ass. Saved your career. Saved your life, really, right? And I just feel like this is the place I always wanted to be. You know, I love these guys. I just feel like, you know what? Before you say anything or plant your flag in some other quarterback's backyard, you should first say, you know what? There's nobody better than Tom Brady. But you know what? I guess Russell Wilson is a good second.
Okay,
I don't know.
I'm going to take it from the Josh Gordon angle. He's looking at it. Russell Wilson apparently wanted him after he wanted Antonio Brown. And Russell Wilson saved his ass right now. The Seahawks saved his ass right now. So the Patriots saving his ass are in the rearview mirror. And by the way, he had one regression. He had one issue, and they brought him back. But do you think he's really sitting there with fond remembrance of what happened with New England?
Why not?
That they saved his ass? Because
why not?
Because he's looking at today.
He's ungrateful.
Ungrateful. I'm going to give you
that. They saved him. Yeah. Nobody. So what they did, in my opinion, they rehabilitated Josh Gordon. They gave him slants. They gave him goes. They made sure not to give him too much. Slants and goes. But listen. I can run a dig. Nope. You can't go to a dig until you can perfect the slant and the go.
So did they create an atmosphere that was different that he wouldn't have succeeded somewhere else?
Yes.
You believe that. So,
it's basically like a rehab facility.
Well,
they
brought him over and it didn't work because he got suspended. So they didn't really rehab him all that well.
I mean, listen, so he tripped up, but they brought him back and he's thriving. It's not perfect. It's not a perfect situation.
But what I'm saying is that you're taking the credit away from him and giving it all to the organization.
I'm giving 90% to the organization.
Well, he got suspended under the organization.
But he was, okay, fine. He got suspended.
So there wasn't
much of a support system. But think about the time that he was in Cleveland, how badly they mismanaged it. If they would have been able to, just like Jake Beckett, he's learned some valuable lessons with the Patriots that he's trying to implement into his own life.
He obviously didn't learn them too well year one.
Is every addict fixed the very first time?
No.
So this is the first time the Patriots get their hands on him, and their system, he trips up once.
Didn't work.
With Cleveland, he tripped up, I don't know how many times. He trips up once, and then finally, they bring him back again, convince the league to let him to play. Because the league, I can tell you this, probably said, screw this guy, he's not worth it. But the Patriot way, the Patriot system, I think they encouraged the league to give him another chance. I think he doesn't get that with any other team.
So if the Seahawks traded him a year ago instead of the Patriots, you don't think he'd be where he is?
If the Seahawks traded for Josh Gordon
from Cleveland.
No, I do not think he would. No, and I think that the shelf life is not as good as people think in that system. Because you mentioned it, he's talking that northwest. It's crazy up there.
They are
crazy up in that northwest.
Yeah, Lou, I'm not
buying it.
I think the structure here that a lot of people bitch about, I think in the end is usually pretty good. Most guys who leave the organization actually don't say harsh things about anything that happened. I think Pete Carroll does run a much different, looser environment.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
And that's not necessarily good for a guy that needs structure, that has got some issues. So I read it differently than Christian. Did you think that was a real knock on the Patriots there? Disrespectful?
No,
I'm not saying it wasn't
throwing, salt in their game or in their face, but it stood out to me. What do you want me to do?
Okay, you tell me whether this one, okay, this is today. He's still
today.
He's on the tour.
Where is he?
Your buddy, John Clayton's radio show today on 710. Still by the way.
I thought you were going to say Brock Heward.
Still, no, he's not your friend. You can't stand Brock Heward.
Who's
right?
The other guy? Salk?
I don't know Salk.
He's my buddy, too.
Salk. He's your buddy. Yeah. Okay, good. You can have him back. All right, John Clayton Show on 710. Listen to this.
How did you feel when we found out that Seattle claimed you?
I was happy. I was extremely happy. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those dream landing destinations, I think, for anybody in free agency or wherever you're at. You know, you know Coach Carroll, you know the culture, you know the guys that win here, the environment. If you want to compete and you love football, you're in the best organization to come play at. So, like, I got lucky. I'm really blessed, honestly, to be.
Was also pretty good as a wide receiver who started in Cleveland and went through how many quarterbacks to go from Brady to Russell Wilson? I mean, how's that for kind of fixing life?
Seems like this towards this part of my career, I'm trending upwards as far as it goes. You know, all-star quarterback. So I'm been extremely fortunate on this end of my career as opposed to the beginning, unfortunately.
Even Clayton throws it. Ooh. That was a ditch.
Trending
seems
upward.
Like in this part of my career, I'm trending upwards in quarterbacks. Now, is that a dig?
Oh, no.
No, because he is.
No. No.
Who's the rating? Who's the, right now the lead to win MVP of the league?
Russell Wilson.
All right, so what are we?
Yeah, but you're not thinking. He's not
so
saying
that. So you thought
that
the first one
saying,
was a dig on
he's
Brady.
Not saying,
you're saying this one's not.
No, because he's not saying that Russell Wilson is an upgrade. He's saying, wow, I went from Brady and I could have went to Josh Allen. But I'm continually getting to a good quarterback.
So you think this is a knock on Josh Allen?
So actually, he's mocking Josh Allen. Yes, that's exactly what he is doing.
Boy, he is talkative out there in Seattle, isn't he?
It is
all over
the
place.
But
it's
when
amazing
you think about it,
the difference.
Isn't Pete Carroll just in an alternate universe, just Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as he's a smart coach.
Yep. Good
players
coach.
Love him.
Yep.
He's respected. I mean,
seem to give these guys a leash to be themselves, and you guys are adults. And I expect you to act professional, and all right, go get them. Right? Like, just sort of like, all right, now be yourself. Go get them. You want to talk to the media? Do your thing. Right? Play the game the right way. Come here and work. But you know what? Do whatever you want. Could be a little dangerous for Josh.
No, I'm not saying that isn't. So,
yeah, could be a little.
And that's why, so to your question, if I'll ask it back at you. So if Josh Gordon was traded from the Browns to the Seattle Seahawks, would it be worse?
Where would he be now? That's the thing. I don't know.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I think he would have been suspended last year, just like he was suspended here in this military environment.
But do you think there would be...
what are we doing?
Did you think the Patriots do a better job of rehabilitating and protecting and fixing bad players more than other teams? Because even with Bill yesterday, he talked about... You know, the military and how football, there's a lot of similarities as far as the structure and how they're built and what they require from you. But that's not on all teams. A lot of teams don't have that military structure that a lot of players need. So, you know, they freelance, they do what they want, and you can't afford to play like that and win games. It just doesn't go hand in hand.
Listen, if the rumors that we're hearing that he was late for meetings, and he might have even been late that day that they actually cut him, because remember, he was on the practice field that day, and people were stunned that they actually let him go because he was actually on the practice field. But there were later stories that maybe he was late, maybe it was not the first time, maybe it was an issue in meetings or whatever. If that's the case, and he does that in Seattle all over again, is he going to have the same problem? Because New England wouldn't put up with it. I still think that has got to be the main reason they let Josh Gordon go. Has to be, because we were all looking at Sanu, and we were talking about Sanu being an addition onto the depth chart along with Gordon. And instead, Sanu on, Gordon off, that had to be a problem. He could probably get away with that in Seattle.
It just might have been, you know, one guy's a lot more dependable than this guy. You know, we talked before about, like, you know, Bill... You know, sleepless nights, you know. And listen, Josh Gordon's not going to cripple his team because obviously they lost them last year and he wanted to win the Super Bowl. But just, God, how often can you put game plans together for a guy and not know? You know, not know if he's going to be there for you the rest of the year. Then they see they got an opportunity to get this guy Sanu that they've loved for years. And they say, you know what, the guy plays every single week. Like, let's make this move. Let's make this swap because I know I can count on this guy. Let's move forward. It's time to move on.
I mean, that was Gordon's problem in the past in Cleveland. He was late to meetings. I mean, Lombardi was there. He told us, Mike told us, that this was a constant thing. You couldn't depend on him. And I think he said that when the Patriots first acquired him. You know,
it goes back to the mystery man as well, though.
N'Keal
Harry.
Yeah, but let's just go back to, let's just say he has no issues. And if Bill's comments about, hey, I'm always trying to make the team better, Mohamed Sanu is better. So Mohamed Sanu is better than Josh Gordon. You're not getting rid of N'Keal Harry. You're not getting rid of Philip Dorsett. And you're not getting rid of Jacoby Meyer. So the odd man out is Josh Gordon, because he's the one where it's an obvious upgrade with Mohamed Sanu. Mohamed Sanu is doing things that Josh Gordon has not done in 2 years.
Well, that's the difference. He fits into a lot more of what they're doing.
Yes, exactly. Hey, can you run a slant? Go. Right. Done. Okay, what else can you do? Whatever you call.
Right. And they can move him around.
Sure.
To different spots. And that's exactly what they need right now, especially without a running game. You need that short little passing game. And really, Gordon, you know, other than those slants, he really requires time for the play to develop, and you don't necessarily have that time with this offensive
line. Did you guys hear Herm Edwards today?
I did not.
I missed it. Yeah, what did he say?
Well, I like to play a little bit when he comes back, because it has to do with
my guy,
N'Keal Harry, you know, the mystery man. And it might tie into Josh Gordon as well.
Good. And we'll get into Jimmy Garoppolo, who was a complete disaster last night in their game against Seattle. And we'll get into all of that. This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.